We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
To In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots podcast. We're your hosts, Shamit Dua and Mason Ginsburg, and this is All Pelicans All the Time. Welcome to another episode of In the Know. It's been another eventful week, to say the least. And speaking of events, Crew de Vue is tonight. Mason, I know you're unable to attend in Chicago in freezing weather, so just want to rub it in that it's 70 degrees outside and there's a parade tonight and Mardi Gras is kicking off. So, yeah.
Sounds nice. Really appreciate that. Feels good, especially because I was in San Jose for work the past couple of days, and even that was not great. It was like 50 and raining, so it wasn't even that much better than Chicago. But just make sure you hang on to that warm weather for a couple of weeks from now, because Anna and I are coming in for Endymion and Bacchus weekend and really cannot possibly get here soon enough.
I will hold on to the dear warm weather with every ounce of strength that I have, if that's even possible.
Yeah, it's great because so Mardi Gras obviously it jumps around year to year, and honestly now that I'm in Chicago, the later it is, the better, because really through the end of March or even April, like not really April, but like through February and like mid March to late March, it's still really just like below freezing consistently here, and so the fact that Mardi Gras is in March now, it can be like, okay, now I can take a trip to New Orleans, and it's probably a pretty high chance that it's going to be pretty warm in New Orleans, as opposed to like when if Mardi Gras falls in like late January or early February, you got a good chance it might be pretty damn cold. So happy that it's in March this year and really can't wait to get down there.
I feel like you're never more than a week away from a beautiful day here.
That's true. Very, very eloquently stated.
Anywho,
speaking of eloquent statements.
Eloquent statements. The Pelicans.
Gail Benson.
Big stuff happened this week. Do we just want to jump into Dell first? I guess we can jump into Dell first. Dell Demps was fired.
That, chronologically speaking, that makes sense.
No, does it though? Because I feel like there's the whole shoulder gate to talk about.
That's right. It's funny because we're thinking about all these things that happen that really have nothing to do with the Pelicans on the court.
No, they don't.
They beat the Thunder on Thursday night. That's pretty damn cool. Like that was a great, that was an awesome second half. That was really fun to watch. They're apparently just made for TNT between the Rockets game a couple weeks ago and now the Thunder game. AD or no AD, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess we can start from Shouldergate because it led into what happened on Friday morning. So, if you live under a rock, Anthony Davis was playing on national television with the Pelicans, and somewhere in the second quarter, he reportedly got hurt, and then during halftime, or right after halftime, he left the arena, and there was footage of him walking behind his agent, Rich Paul, which was described to me on Twitter as like a kid being picked up from school by his parent. And, yeah, he left in the middle of the game.
Dad!
And so we, you know, I was there at the game. I was in press row. We were seeing the tweets flying that he left, and we're like, you know, what's going on? And the Pelicans ended up winning the game. You know, they were fighting hard. They were playing scrappy. All that fun stuff that we had seen them do before Davis started playing again. And then after the game, we went to go talk to Alvin. And as we were walking down to go see Alvin outside of the locker, he was already outside, which is unusual because he usually takes his time in the locker. And, you know, he's addressing the players. He's usually getting a bite to eat. That's why, you know, when he comes out the post game, he's always got his hand around his mouth and chewing stuff. So Alvin was already outside of the locker, and Gail Benson was there along with Greg Bensel and security and some other people that I did not recognize. But, you know, the major ownership players of the Pelicans were there, and that's not uncommon. Gail Benson greets the team after every single game, and you can see her leaving if you get there on time. But Alvin was with them, and they were having an animated discussion about something. Not sure what, didn't overhear anything, but they weren't, like, laughing or anything. So we thought that, or, you know, I thought that they were talking about AD leaving in the middle of the game and just not coming back and not being there. Because, you know, Alvin goes there to address the team, and when he goes into the locker after the game, he's going to see that AD's not there, right?
Yep.
Like, when you have your post-game address, you're going to know AD's not there. And if you want to address him, you know, you'd ask one of the trainers, like, where is he? Is he in the back getting treatment or something?
Where's that 7-foot tall guy who
it's hard to miss on our team? Okay. In any case, you know, he came out, he did his little scrum, and a few reporters asked him, I was like, you know, what do you think about AD leaving the game in the middle of the game? And at first it kind of seemed like maybe Alvin was surprised. He's like, oh, he must have left the game. And then he started to talk about other players and Kenrich and winning in, you know, the game that no one actually wants to hear about. And then someone else asked him again, like, how do you feel about it? Or did you know? Something like that. It was very similar to the first question. And Alvin just lost it. Well, before that, Alvin had a very interesting quote. And he was like, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire. But those are strong words. And it has been. It absolutely has been. But, you know, whenever that one of the reporters asked him again about Davis leaving, Alvin lost it. He just went off. He was like, I'm only here to talk about the guys who are playing on this team right now, and we're just going to talk about the game and the things they did to win the game and play the right way. And that was all. And then, like, he crumpled up his box score that was in front of him and just, like, stormed off.
Just a quick point on that. I've never been more certain that Alvin Gentry has a burner Twitter account that he uses frequently, because I feel like, to use the term dumpster fire, is one that I only see that term used on Twitter and nowhere else. And I know it's spoken every now and then, but that I can now confirm the fact that he's got a burner somewhere, and now we have to go uncover it.
Oh yeah, he's probably tweeting at all of us. I'm going to just start tweeting anti-Gentry shit and, like, see who pops up. Any case. So afterward, you know, the reporters are kind of caught off guard. We're like, okay, what do we do with this? And me, I just wanted to ask a Kenrich question. That's it. I was waiting my turn. I was like, I'm going to ask this Kenrich question. I'm going to ask him about, you know, Kenrich's rebounding ability and try to get a little fun response, trying to make it lighthearted. And I didn't even give him a chance. I was upset, but Alvin stormed off, and before we were allowed to enter the locker room, Dell was there, Alvin was there, and all the coaches were there, and they were talking, and then they were laughing. Again, unsure what they were talking about, and, you know, if reports are to be believed that Dell's firing was kind of in the works for the better part of this week, then you know, that whole situation was just kind of bizarre. If to look at it from knowing what we know now and the fact that Dell has been let go, and like, I don't understand anything that happened last night. So it was weird. And reports later came out that AD went to go get an MRI, which, like, yeah, right. And the MRI results were, you know, even if he got the MRI, it's like, I bet that tech or and the radiologist reading those results, like, are you a clown? Like, it's a contusion, bro. It's a bruise. And then, like, he's like, yeah, today he came out. He's like, I plan on playing in the All-Star game. It's like, what's wrong with you?
And also MRI just refers to the technology and the equipment. Every MRI, I've had two or three MRIs in my life, and they're all roughly 45 minutes to an hour. I'll bet you this one was like 5 minutes.
Yeah. What is there to test here? Anyway, it all came out after the game, and it wasn't a good look. Honestly, it wasn't a good look for Davis, and a lot of people made fun of him and his agent for it, and people were trying to project what will happen after the break. You know, is he actually going to play in Charlotte? Is he going to come back and play? Is this one of those fake injuries that the Pelicans have now an excuse to sit him for the rest of the season? What's going on? While people were still trying to digest all of that, early Friday morning, or it wasn't early, it was like around 11, I'd say, Central Time, Woj drops a bomb. New Orleans has parted ways with general manager Dell Demps, which I was in the middle of a work meeting, and it wasn't one of those work meetings where you can just like dial in and put yourself on mute and kind of play around on your phone. It was one of those work meetings where you're either leading it or you're super engaged. And like, I'm over here trying to like solve through some problems that, you know, we were experiencing. And this stuff is going on my phone, and I'm like having such a hard time concentrating on anything. And I'm like, what's going on? What's going on? When you saw Woj's tweet, what were you doing? Like, what were your first thoughts?
It's really funny because not totally dissimilarly. We had all day meetings in San Jose on Thursday, and on Friday morning I was flying back, and like it had been a really long couple weeks for me, and I was like, I'm just going to unplug and like watch a movie on this flight and relax. And then I was like, well, I got a couple little things I need to get done, so I'll go ahead and get the in-flight Wi-Fi. And then literally 20 minutes into my flight is when the news broke. I'm like, oh, this would have been something to react to 4 hours later when I land back in Chicago. But it was it's one of those things where you know, I know we've all talked about it and kind of understood that the writing may have been on the wall. Not to say he was absolutely getting canned, but that if you had to bet one way or the other, you probably bet on him not lasting past, you know, the end of the season, or like getting fired right after the season. But the timing was interesting. It sounds like they're going about the replacement process the exact right way. So I'm not too concerned about the timing. If they felt like it was the move to make, it's the move to make. And so, again, I guess overall reaction is I'm not surprised that it happened. I was a little surprised at first about when it happened, but I mean, it is what it is, right?
Yeah. I don't know. The whole thing was weird for me. I knew. So here's the realistic deal. And I think we talked about this on the pod before Davis even requested his trade. I think we both agreed the moment Davis refused to sign his extension in the summer, or the moment he asked out, is the moment you have to let Dell go.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because his time is up.
He's failed at your mission one.
Right. Which is to keep Davis, build around Davis, and be successful with Davis. So if that's gone, then hey, that's the end of your project. It is what it is. Over the last few weeks, you know, after Davis requested his trade, and they kept like, Davis requested his trade. They didn't immediately fire Dell, which is like, okay, what's going on? And then he made it past the trade deadline. He was able to complete transactions during the trade deadline. He netted us 5 second round picks. At that point, you know, the early questioning of, okay, what are they doing? Why haven't they let him go? Kind of for me changed into like, okay, you know, they want to get into the summer in one piece and then do a proper search and go through the proper channels when the season ends. And you know, because when you fire someone in the middle of the season, oftentimes you're just only doing it to send a message. you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so he made it past the trade deadline. I was like, you know, what's the point of firing him now? So when he was fired, my first reaction was like, why? Why now? It doesn't make sense. And I was actually in the process of writing an argument for Dell. I think there was a fairly strong argument for whatever the next step of the franchise in terms of whoever's going to be the executive above Dell or above the GM. I think there is a strong argument for that GM to interview Dell for his own job. Or I did, you know, you can't do that anymore now because Dell's gone. You've parted ways. But I thought that Dell deserved an equal shot with all the other candidates to basically interview with for his job. And now that's not a possibility. You're seeing names fly out of who can be the replacement, which I've been pleasantly surprised with. Have you?
The names?
Yeah.
Yeah. 110%. It's been great. And I think we have to start thinking about this like we did for head coaches. Like when we were talking about Monty Williams versus whoever's going to replace him. It's just like, and I feel like kind of the same, it can be said for Dell. I mean, in the broad spectrum, Dell's not he's not an awful general manager. He's not an elite general manager. So it really all comes down to, do you think you can upgrade? And that's the conversation I think we had with Monty. It was like, you know, yeah, Monty had just finished making the playoffs. I don't think he was a terrible head coach. I don't think he was a fantastic head coach. So the question becomes like, if you think you can get a better coach for this team than him, you make the move. And so they did. And I think this is a lot of people will argue that this took too long with Dell, but I think the logic still applies. If you think that you can go on, find an upgrade from him who can lead this franchise in a better direction overall, then you do it. And the names that have been coming out, like Griffin, for one,
been three names that have come out right off the bat, which were, and two of them were reported by Woj and Stein as well. The first two names were David Griffin and Mike Zarin. David Griffin being the former Hawks and Cavaliers GM, and Mike Zarin being the longtime assistant GM of the Boston Celtics. He, from all accounts, is a Boston lifer, and many people thought that, you know, he has like a wink-wink deal with Danny Ainge set up, that he's the next in line to take over the Celtics, which honestly wouldn't be surprising because teams have made overtures towards Mike Zarin in the past, specifically Philly. I think it was in 2013 when right before they hired Hinkie, and they went after Zarin, and Zarin just kind of turned that job down. So I think that's unlikely, but you know, we saw Fletcher report it, we saw Woj report it, and we saw Stein report it. So that's, you know, three times that name has been floated out, and it could be that the Pelicans organization is just putting those names out because they know those guys are smart. You know, even though, you know, like if you want to create an interest in your job spot and you leak that you're going after some of the best in the business, then people are going to bring their A game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I mean, that's my thoughts. But either way, like if those guys are even realistic in terms of if they have a realistic shot of being hired, then I think the Pelicans could potentially be in a pretty good spot. But it all goes back to ownership, and it goes back to how they want to structure it, who are they reporting to, and how meddlesome is ownership going to be. And I think this is going to be the defining moment of Gail Benson's ownership career, is how she goes about this hiring and how she goes about this restructure. And everything that's come out from a statement, from a public statement perspective from the Pelicans, is pointing in things going in the right direction.
Yep. It's been a really pleasant surprise, but talk is talk and you've got to back it up. And I mean, there's a lot of things that go along with this. Like it's easy to just say, oh, why would you want to go be the GM for the Pelicans when the first thing you're going to have to do is trade your superstar and kind of start a rebuild. Like who wants to do that? Well, it's not, and you know, whatever you want to say about the public perception of the franchise regarding football versus basketball, it's like, oh, this is a terrible, terrible job. It's just like, it's not that simple. It's not black and white like that. There aren't just good jobs and bad jobs for any type of person. I mean, different people value different things. And I think the Gale's taken the first really important steps to start framing up this franchise in a more positive light from an NBA or basketball perspective, to the public and to other teams around the league and other potential, employees. And so that's good. But there's also like this perception that, oh, you want to come in as a GM, you want to come into a team that's already, in a great position for success. And it's like, I don't even know if that's true, because if you come into a team that's in a great situation, the only thing you can do is fail. I mean, you can either keep the status quo, which is success, and you hang on to your job, or if things take a step back, it's your fault and you're gone. And so I think this is, and it comes back to what the Pelicans are offering to this new potential hire. Are you giving full control? Are you just handing over the keys and saying, we trust you unconditionally? You're the best mind for the job and go to work? Or are they going to be looking over their shoulder all the time? What are you giving this person as far as a budget to round out staff and to invest in all the areas you want to invest in and make your team successful? I mean, these are all real considerations that I think are the ones that matter, rather than just saying, oh, why would you want to go work for the Pelicans? I mean, like, I think that's just so close-minded and overly simplistic to me.
No, it's a dumb argument, because there are 30 NBA teams. It's a highly coveted job. There's going to be lots of candidates, and you can argue that some of the best ones won't pursue this because they'll have better opportunities down the line. Sure. But the idea of, like, why would you want to come work in New Orleans? There are people dying at the chance to get into professional sports. There are people in the business right now that would love an opportunity to be at the head of a franchise. There are people who were in the business, are on the outside looking in, who have been angling towards an opportunity like this. So it's a closed market, and the Pelicans will have suitors. They might not have the best suitors, but so far things look good. I do want to take a small step back and evaluate the statements that the team has put out. And okay, I think this is the most important one. And this is Gail Benson. She says, "We will immediately begin the process of restructuring our basketball operations department. This will include a comprehensive but confidential search aided by outside consultants to identify a new leader of our basketball operations, directly reporting to me." There's a lot to sort of unpack in that statement, right? First of all, I think we talked about on the pod a couple weeks ago that if and when they do begin a search for a new GM and new coaches, they should 100% bring in outside consultants. They should bring in a third party that's unbiased to aid with this process and facilitate it. So looks like they are definitely going that route. The second thing I want to talk about is we are beginning the process of restructuring our basketball operations department. We want to identify a new leader of our basketball operations directly reporting to me. I feel like you can take that in a couple ways, but to me, this reads there's going to be an executive who has major power, like a president of basketball operations. He's the leader, he's the face. Now, the titles may become unclear later, but in terms of what this person is responsible for, I feel like they will have the effective power that a president has. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's the right message. I don't think Gail is oblivious to the perception of the team in recent memory regarding who's in charge, Dell, Mickey Loomis, and all these other names that are like more related to the Saints than the Pelicans are floating around. And so I think that I'm sure she was also advised as to how to construct this statement, because I wouldn't, as a leader of any sort of business, I wouldn't put out something like this without getting consulted on it and making sure that I'm saying all the right things. And so I'm not saying this is all Gail generated, but I think she understands the problems for this Pelicans franchise that have kind of existed and the best ways to start to solve them. And I think this is the message that does that. And now, as we've said, it comes back to executing. But I think first step is definitely one in the right direction.
Yeah, and basically from what I'm hearing is they're going to have a person there with all the power. They're going to have someone under them. Now, I don't know for sure if that's a president-GM relationship or a GM-assistant relationship, but for all intents and purposes, they're going to be the same thing. And this tandem is going to lead the search for hiring a coach, and they'll do a thorough search, and they will have full authority to pick their own guy. Now, again, like you said, this is going to be limited to the budget that they're going to get when it comes to hiring a coach, when it comes to rounding out their staff, their scouting departments, their analytics departments, all of that right. stuff is, I'm sure, going to be negotiated by any potential candidates. They're going to ask for a lot, and it's up for the Pelicans to grant that access to them or not. I don't know what the previous structure was like, but I don't think there is a reason to believe that Gale is going to cut corners here. I don't think there's enough evidence to support that idea, especially not with everything that they've put out. Now, the coaching candidate thing gets kind of interesting because they still really like Alvin. He's going to finish out the year. His staff is going to finish out the year. They want to keep him around. The word consultant is being thrown around. You know, if he doesn't, if the new GM doesn't pick him as a coach, what do you make of that?
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I think we both like Gentry, like the current Pelicans staff. Is it the best coaching staff in the NBA? No, but I think it's a good collection. Gentry's a great guy to have running your team, and I think he'd be the first to tell you, as from like a basketball mind perspective, I don't even think he'd say he's the smartest one on the staff. But it's kind of like how I think about not just basketball, but also like sports like football. It's like you have a head coach who obviously knows as much about the game as possible, but he's leading your team. Like, he's a people manager too. And you have like your Darren Ermans and Finches of the world. Those are the guys who get nitty gritty X's and O's, you know? And so I think that the Pelicans' current structure is great in that respect. I mean, the players love and respect Alvin Gentry. I've never heard of any sort of negative spin on the player coach relationships there. And so the question becomes, moving forward, what does Gentry want? I feel like to your point, I've heard the consultant word thrown out, but you know, I think we're making some assumptions here on what Alvin Gentry wants now after the season. And I don't know what that is. I mean, he could want to go coach again. And so I think the one missing variable here is what Alvin Gentry.
Yeah. The person I think they're just going to, like, if the consultant thing materializes, it's going to be an option they lay on the table for him. They're like, hey, you know, we're going to get our own coach, but if you want to stick around, here you go. And I think that's maybe the kind of way to look at it. And I'm sure if he gets offered another head coaching opportunity, he's going to take it. Mm-hmm. But I think Alvin thinks he's 65 years old and shit doesn't matter. I think he's pretty happy with his life.
Yeah. I mean, if that's the case, I'm very much in favor of that course of action, but we'll see what he wants.
Yep. Okay, well, let's take a break to talk about our sponsors real quick. All right, guys, we have an announcement to make. Blue Wire is teaming up with Harry's to make sure our listeners are shaving comfortably. Go to harrys.com/bluewire to save $10 on a value trial set, which includes a 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. You get all of that for just $3 shipped to your door. Enough with the cheap razors. It's totally worth going to Harry's. Harry's has fixed shaving by combining a simple, clean design with quality and durable blades at a fair price. Harry's founders were tired of paying for razors that were overpriced and overdesigned. Harry's bought a world-class blade factory in Germany that's been making quality blades for over 95 years. Join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your trial offer by going to harrys.com/bluewire. All of Harry's blades come with a 100% quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund. Again, make sure to go to harrys.com/bluewire to redeem your razor for $3. Our next sponsor is Ethos Life Insurance. Life can be stressful, but getting life insurance shouldn't be. That's why there's Ethos. Ethos is a modern kind of life insurance that's super fast, incredibly affordable, and very uncomplicated. At Ethos.com, there are no medical exams for policies covering under $1 million, no hours of paperwork or meetings with pushy representatives. It only takes 10 minutes to apply, and you can rest assured knowing you've taken the steps to protect your family, and in most cases with Ethos, you have that peace of mind for less than a cup of coffee a day, with no hidden fees. Having life insurance can free you from stress. Getting life insurance shouldn't cause it. Discover how uncomplicated life insurance can be at Ethos. Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in minutes. Just go to getethos.com. That's ETHOS. Getethos.com. Getethos.com. All right, welcome back. Thanks for listening to our sponsor shoutouts. Mason, this morning, Saturday morning, second day of All-Star Weekend, Anthony Davis had media availability for the first time after his little shoulder gate incident. And he had some interesting comments. The first comments that made headlines were, I never said the Celtics weren't on my list. They are on my list.
Is that the first, though? You kind of jumped right in there. I feel like
discussion worthy. I don't know. Did he say something else?
He reiterated the fact that he plans to play after the trade deadline.
Oh, yeah. He wants to play in the game Sunday, too.
Yeah, that was pretty apparent. So the injury must have been really, really tough one for him. He said that he wants to continue to play. He also said something to the point of like, and he said this before, is like, I understand where the Pelicans are coming from. They're going to do what's best for them. I want to play. He talked about his love. Or so first he said he confirmed that the list that came out was true of teams. So he was all over the place. And then he went on to say that, he's got love for New Orleans, two homes in the city. When the time comes, he'll put out a heartfelt message on Instagram because that's what everyone else does. Like, just wow.
Can't be that tone deaf.
Yeah. I mean,
he is. Everything he's done so far has shown us he is that tone deaf.
Yeah, but then he started talking about how like the list of the Asian. So I had forgotten about this till we just started talking about the fact that he started off the presser today by talking about how the list that came out between the agent and the Pelicans is true, and then later on he said, "I didn't give them a list."
Yeah. So that's what I was going to get to. So for the first thing, he said around this destination situation, people are asking him why not the Boston Celtics. He's like, "I never said that. I'd love to go to Boston." Well, he didn't say, "I'd love to go to Boston." He said, "They are on my list." Okay, cool. And then Twitter erupted, and Celtics fans were celebrating. Lakers fans were crying. Great. And the presser went on, and like you said, he said, the list was true. The Lakers are on it. The Knicks are on it. It's a true list. All right. And then so after his public media availability kind of died down, he was given a little spot on NBA TV to be interviewed by Isaiah Thomas and a panel of other people. And they asked him straight up. It was like, okay, so to clarify your comments about the Celtics, the Lakers, and then Anthony Davis goes, Anthony Davis has never given the Pelicans a list. All 29 teams are on the list. I have no preferred destination.
He literally wants to go anywhere that's not New Orleans.
Right? And then he's like, there's a great meme or photograph that's circulating on Twitter right now is when Anthony Davis is saying, I don't have any preferred destinations. And there's like a Rich Paul in the background just staring at him, just like boring daggers out of his eyes into the back of Anthony Davis. So it's great. It's a little funny little screen grab there. But okay, for folks keeping track at home, there is no list.
There is a list.
There is no list was the first thing he said at the Pelicans practice facility weeks back. There is a list, so he said today. The Celtics are on the list, he said today. And then there is no list. Every team is on that list. Dude.
What is going on?
Like, you are so lost. You are so far gone. Shout out Drake. That album is now streaming. But, dude, what are you doing here? What are we doing?
I think – so my thought is that – and I think you said this too, is that he's just – he does not want to be the bad guy at all. That's just not his personality. Not to say people generally want to be looked at as the bad guy, but some – there are some players or some people, type of personalities that embrace something like that. AD is not that guy. And now he's trying to backtrack and figure out how to – He's in over his head right now, from a PR perspective.
He has no idea how to play this game. He ain't built for this game. He attempted to let Rich Paul do his dirty work. He attempted to let his dad do his dirty work. And now he knows he cannot escape the media spotlight. And he probably feels uncomfortable with the way things went down. There was a report yesterday in Jeff Duncan's column that he privately apologized to Gail Benson for the way things have gone. And he probably hates that he's being put on the spot, and he knows he can't escape it. So he's the little bit left of him that was there is leaking out now. You know, it's not his agent, it's not his dad, it's not the people around him, and he's been given an opportunity to voice his own opinion, and I think he's taking it while attempting not to destroy everything that his agent has done. Because he realizes that his agent did all that for a reason. And if he goes out and undoes all of it, then he looks like even more of an idiot. Yep. But so he's trying to walk a fine line, which to me is crazy. Just take a fucking stance, dude.
And to be fair, that last comment, I mean, after the media availability, he went on NBA TV and said, you know, all 29 teams are on my list. I don't have a preferred destination. I just want to
bullshit.
Win.
Like, he's not going to Cleveland.
I know. That part is bullshit. But I was going to say, he finished with, I never gave a destination. Anthony Davis has never gave a destination where he wants to play. And I feel like, I mean, he said a lot of BS, and that's probably not true as well. But he was so clear and adamant. And for all the times it sounded like he was kind of talking in circles, he's never been more direct and to the point than when he said that specific statement. And I don't even know what it says. I mean, if he's going to be that direct on something that probably is not true. I mean, he's just lost.
No, I mean, here's the rule of thumb. Do not believe a word that comes out of this guy's mouth. There's no reason to. He has little control of the situation. His agent has tried to do everything to get control of the situation. They failed. Whatever's going to happen in the summer is going to be beyond their control. They're probably going to have a little bit of a last-minute gambit to dissuade Boston from trading. It's not going to work. It's not. It's just not going to work, and they're going to have to suck it up and play wherever they get traded to. That's it. Like, I don't understand. I don't know. This whole situation, like Gentry said, has been a dumpster fire, and I think it's been handled awfully by his representation. I think they have definitely not looked out for his best interests. They have certainly not done anything good for his legacy. He keeps talking about how his legacy is the most important thing. He has completely undone his legacy in New Orleans over the last 2 weeks. Now, people around the league and nationally, we'll talk about how ungrateful the Pelicans fans are for not appreciating, you know, 6.5 years of this guy giving us everything. Okay, I don't think those two things can be mutually exclusive. I think you can very well appreciate the work that he put in and how great of a player he was, and at the same time, call him out for his shenanigans and call him out for just being a disaster in this situation. I mean, I don't even have another word for this. He could not have played this any worse.
Yeah, I mean, I think what it all comes down to it, AD aside, this is just there was no long-term thinking here. I think that the thought from his representation, and maybe AD was on board with it too, was just
let's get Anthony Davis to Los Angeles by the trade deadline. I think that was the only thought.
Yeah, they sold him a pipe dream.
Yeah, there was no thought to if we can't bully the Pelicans into trading AD before the trade deadline to the Lakers, what's next? I don't think there was a plan. They're like, they're probably just like, yeah, we'll just wing it, you know. We're gonna get you to Los Angeles. Like we're gonna put the full court press on the media on them. We're gonna want to have the Lakers offer everything that they have, and that's gonna be enough.
Little did they know, Magic and Rob Pelinka totally fumbled the ball there. They didn't expect to be undone by their own people. They did not expect that.
but just a general mess. And I find it interesting, even right now, people are the general sentiment about the all of AD's comments today were like, wow, that was a quick victory lap for the Celtics. And it's just like, no, why is it a quick victory lap? You think that the second thing that he said undoes the first thing that he said, that Boston is on the list?
He never said that.
What's that?
He never said that.
Said what?
Anything. You ask him. I never said that.
Oh, I was like, wait, what? Did I just mishear something? But yeah, and so like, I don't think if you're a Celtics fan after this morning, you've got to feel pretty good. I don't think that the fact that he closed out by saying, "Oh, I didn't give the Pelicans a list. All 29 teams are on my list." I think it's just people making jokes to make jokes. That, oh, sorry, Celtics fans, you got excited for about 10 minutes, and now you shouldn't anymore. I think the first part was more telling, that you know, he seems very open to being with going to Boston, and maybe it was just because he talked to Kyrie last night. I don't know, but I think that this is the result here for the Pelicans after AD's comments today. I don't see how they can be viewed negative. The only way that I would spin them negatively is saying, "Oh man, AD wants to go literally anywhere except for New Orleans." When he says 29-19,
you want to see a negative spin on it? Just hop on over to Lakers Twitter. They can find a way to make anything about them and anything that's not about them seem very bad. So, yeah. According to them, Danny Ainge is still going to fleece us. So.
fair enough.
Oh, I feel like we didn't even talk about this. Danny Ferry has been made interim general manager.
Yep.
That's something.
It's why is it something?
I don't know. I mean, like, he is now essentially a lame duck GM, given everything that we've heard. He has a pretty big responsibility to do all the scouting work, to do all the prep work, to compile all the notes come draft time. I'm not sure he has a sense of how long he's going to be in the job, because who knows how long this GM search is going to last. Now, if they're trying to hire active candidates, I don't know if it's the same thing with coaches, but can you just hire a GM in the middle of a season from another team?
I don't know why you would.
Like, why you would or why you could not?
Why you would in the first place. That seems really like a really tough thing to do in the middle of the year. I mean, I guess after the trade deadline, you could.
Well, the Pelicans don't have anything else going on right now. Management, they've hired their outside, you know, consultant group. They're reportedly trying to field offers. Like, why would you wait? You fired your guy now. Why wait to look for the next guy?
Yeah,
begins today, or yesterday.
I think so. Yeah, and so it begins today, but I mean, that doesn't – I think, getting back to the whole Dell Demps firing and why they did it when they did it, maybe that's why. I don't know. I don't know if it's like a bad look. You can't start doing a search for a GM until you don't have a GM. you can't say, "Dell, finish out the year, but we're going to start looking for your replacement now."
Right.
So that's kind of what it comes down to. It's they've got Ferry finishing the year. They're going to do a search, and I'm by all accounts, I mean, Danny Ferry's name probably will be one of the people considered. I think that part, not maybe, I mean, I know Dell Demps was the main driver to get Ferry to New Orleans in the first place. He had made comments that he, you know, confided in Ferry for a couple of years before he even came to New Orleans, or before when Ferry came to New Orleans. So it was never the foregone conclusion that Ferry would replace Demps if Demps got fired. But I think from an interim sense, this always made sense. And now
I feel like the moment we heard Ferry's name the first time around, that was the reaction of the fan base, right? Oh, he's coming in to replace Dell.
Yeah, there was. That was a reaction. That was just not the case. Dell brought him in.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's so it is an interesting consideration with Ferry. It's like, well, what does he have to gain right now between now and the end of the year? He's the only thing you can say is that he's auditioning for the job. And so I think that continuity for the rest of the season is fine as the Pelicans do this search. And now they can have ample time to put the next kind of structure in place for when they have to make the biggest decision they made in a while, what the AD trade looks like.
I think in a way, after Davis's trade request and the time period until yesterday, Dell was also auditioning for his next job. Do you agree with that?
If you're saying not with the Pelicans, then I mean,
obviously not with the Pelicans. I think the operating assumption here is he was going to be gone one way or another. It just happened to be now. I think he probably realized. I mean, all the reports. I mean, Fletcher was saying this for weeks that they're going to clean house at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Right. So I think everyone kind of knew this was coming. I mean, if Fletcher knows, Dell probably knows. Which, Fletcher has absolutely killed it this whole saga. I mean, I just ignore his trades.
Ignore the trade machine.
Reporter Fletch killed it. He's out scooping Woj. He legitimately is out scooping Woj.
Yeah, he was the first to bring up the names for potential GM replacements.
He's correcting David Aldridge, another respected reporter. You know, like Fletch has been killing it. So shout out Fletch.
Yep.
But
agreed.
But yeah, what I mean is Davis requests a trade. Dell knows he's on the clock. He's gone.
Yep.
So everything that he does from that moment onwards is going to be a reflection. It's going to be brought up, you know, the next time he's going for a job. And so the things he did were absolutely play the media and destroy the Lakers and clutch in the process. I think that was a masterful stroke by him. And I know all the Pelican statements, I know all the messaging coming out is going to be that it was Loomis, it was Benson, it was the brain trust, and you know, mm-hmm. Dell was handcuffed and he didn't have authority to do anything. No, I mean, that's PR stuff.
Yep.
Dell wanted no part. I'm, and this is, again, another report. Dell wanted no part of the Lakers trade. None. Mm-hmm. And he was very much in control of how that played out. Now, obviously, the whole of ownership and everyone was involved, but like Dell was the driver there, and the car was very full of people, but Dell was the driver there, and so he did that, and he had a couple transactions where he netted a bunch of picks, and again, it gets not much of a resume, but being able to handle yourself under that kind of pressure. I mean, not many GMs have the experience of drafting a superstar, let alone handling trade discussions for one. And so being able to handle the immense pressure that came with that, as well as, you know, just kind of operating on a day-to-day basis, I do think it's probably not going to define his career. If I'm an employer, I'm not looking at that specific moment, but I do think that it will play a big factor in how he handled it, because some people just fold under that pressure. Yep. Some people just do not play it well. And I think Dell played his cards perfectly during that whole process. I think he was the consummate soldier and carried out what ownership wanted him to over those last few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I this gets back to something I brought up with earlier this year, I think maybe like last month. And I think that fans and just the general public view players differently than they view coaches and front office, like leaders, in the sense that, you know, there's this curve that we expect players to follow in terms of improvement and then decline relative to their age. It's like, oh, well, you know, you're going to get better into your prime and then you're going to decline as you start to get older. And when we think about coaches and GMs or whoever, it seems like it's always just you're good or you're bad. And like, that's it. And you can't get better. I mean, if you've done a couple dumb things, you're toast. There's no hope for you. And I just think it's bogus. I mean, I'm not even saying that Dell Demps should immediately get another general manager job. What I am saying is that he undeniably improved throughout his long tenure as Pelicans general manager. And I think the way he exited with the Lakers, with the chaos regarding Anthony Davis' trade request and how the Lakers came at them and from every angle and through the media and trying to force his hand, and he stood strong. And I think that, in addition to some of the other decisions he's made and in the last few years, I mean, obviously you have your bad ones like your Omers and your Solomon Hill signings of the world, but generally speaking, he's done more good than bad over the past few years. And I think that he clearly improved and he has set himself up to get another job somewhere. I mean, he's a pretty young guy still. He's got a lot of time left.
He's going to land on his feet. I would not be surprised if he ends up in San Antonio for a brief stint before he gets his next big job.
Yep. He's from that Spurs family tree. That wouldn't shock me.
My wild card is going to be Toronto. I think he and Masai will have a good thing lined up for him.
I'm trying to think if there's any other option. I don't know. I guess the funny one.
Yeah.
When Magic Johnson gets canned from the Lakers for not trading for Anthony Davis, they hire Dell Demps to replace him. And then.
What do you mean, Rob Pelinka? Magic.
Yeah, sorry. My bad. But and then Rich Paul comes to be the general manager of the Pelicans.
And the world burns.
Nah, I don't know where Dell.
It was really funny. Moments after the Dell news broke, Denver gave Tim Connelly an extension.
Yep,
that was smart of Tim. He probably was like, "Hey, there's an opening. If you don't sign me, sure they'll love to have me." So Denver's like, "Wait a minute. We want to keep it."
Yeah,
so, good stuff. No. All right, I think that's about exhausted our stuff that we can talk about at the moment. I'm sure there'll be some earth-shattering thing revealed later tomorrow.
Yeah, no doubt. And then when Anthony Davis forces his way back onto the court the first game after the All-Star break, we'll have more to talk about there too.
Oh, good Lord. All right, thanks for listening. Cool. Yeah.